IVM.
Folks, welcome to Paisa Paisa, brought to you by CRED, the most rewarding credit card bill payments app. I'm your host, Anupam Gupta, B50 on Twitter, and this is the Pay Later special with Simple. That's S-I-M-P-L without the E. I'm sure that you guys, if you've used any of the grocery apps or an ordering app, Zomato, you'll see Simple out there. Pay Later to me is very, very interesting because it's such a useful service to the customers. I probably come from some other time when I'm used to using my credit card or using a wallet. And I love it when people, when I've had this conversation on Twitter with a lot of people and they say, Pay Later is it, man. No OTP, no applying for credit card, no wallet limit, nothing. So it's a wonderful thing. And it's also caught on globally. We're going to talk about all of that. But before that, let's take a short credit convenience break and we'll be right back on the other side. And welcome back. So we've had, in fact, Capital Float in the past, but they are exclusively, I think, on Amazon. Today, we've got one of India's largest Pay Later players, Simple. And my guest is Nitya Sharma, co-founder and CEO at Simple. Nitya, welcome to Paisa Paisa. Thank you so much for doing this for our listeners.
Anupam, thanks for having me on the show. As I said before we started recording, I followed your work for 4 years now. So I'm excited to have this conversation and, walking your users through what we see we are doing about Pay Later and how we see the market evolve.
Lovely. Guys, and thanks, Nitya. So we're going to split this episode in a slightly different way because we've got a brand which is probably among the oldest out here, among the largest out here. So we're going to talk about the industry first. And then in the second half, for people, if you don't know Simple, we're going to talk about exactly what Simple does and how it could probably help you make, smarter financial decisions. So Nitya, let's start. Give us a perspective of the industry, right? In whatever way you want, make sense out of how Pay Later has boomed and where it stands today against, comparable metric. I'm from the market, so maybe a loan book size or whatever it is, or whatever works for you. Tell us that.
Yeah, absolutely. So Anupam, before I get into the metrics, let me just frame what Pay Later is very quickly so that there is a framework to think about this. We call it Pay Later right now, or some people call it BNPL, Buy Now, Pay Later. These are jargons. But when you step back, almost 5,000 years back in human history, Pay Later is the original form of money. This is what I mean, right? So imagine how we used to do transactions back in the day, 5,000 years back or something. We used to live in trusted communities, small villages or small neighborhoods. And even before money was invented, what we used to do was, you had goat, I had milk, and we used to have a ledger system to kind of like keep a record of who owes who, how much. It was I owe you something, right? And it's basically nothing but a ledger. And then if you kind of like think about something more relevant to probably what you do right now is the khata, the tab or the account you run with your local grocery store, the milkman, the newspaper wala, the dabba wala, the whole nine yards. Sometimes you don't even realize that you're using Pay Later, but you are, right? So, to me, Pay Later is the original form of money, and it is incredibly ingrained in commerce and human psyche to the point that when you buy your newspaper every day and not pay for it, and then you pay later your one bill, you don't even realize you're using something, right? So that's, to me, Pay Later. Now, coming fast forward, obviously, as the world has evolved, when we have today's technology, mobile, internet, the cloud, what Pay Later means is consumers can buy now online or offline and pay later at a time when it's more convenient to them. Pay Later typically comes in two chunks. One is Pay Later for convenience and safety, right? The other Pay Later would be something for affordability, right? So I'll quickly talk about the affordability because I think it's easier to kind of maybe grasp, right? It's a classic installment, EMI, right? You want to buy a phone or a computer or a washing machine, and you go and say, I'll spread this payment over 6 months, 12 months, et cetera, right? So that's one Pay Later. The other Pay Later is what we focus on, which is I want to buy something online. And instead of paying first and receiving later, which if you think about from a consumer experience point of view, to me, it doesn't make sense, honestly. What Simple allows is, or Simple type Pay Later allows is you press a button, you buy now, right? You aggregate all your buying into one bill and you pay that bill at a convenient time once in 15 days or a month, right? So those are the two types of pay later. Now, when you think about the industry, the classic pay later, which is almost like a khata, you know, we think it's about a $300 to $500 million annualized total payment volume industry right now, you know, how much money flows through the system. We believe this would be a very, very large part of at least e-commerce in India. And this is why I say that. The primary driver of pay later for e-commerce transactions like food and grocery is two things. Convenience, one-click checkout, no OTPs, as you said. And the second is feeling of control and safety and trust that I'm not saving all my financial information online and there could be a hack, there could be fraud. What if I don't get delivery and I will have to do a refund? Which is the reason why 70% of all transactions in India are still done with cash on delivery, because that is how the consumer gets trust. Even today,
even after the pandemic, I thought that maybe things would have...
So obviously, whenever things like pandemic and things like demonetization happen, there is a little bit of a shift. But when you think about it, if you look at Amazon's payments and a non-Amazon retailer, let's assume a direct-to-customer e-commerce retailer, Amazon is definitely slowly but surely reducing the cash on delivery. And the reason they are is people trust Amazon, right? Because Amazon has phenomenal customer service, et cetera. So people started trusting Amazon. But when you buy with a slightly newer store or a non-Amazon store, there's a lack of trust. And people bridge that trust deficit using cash on delivery, right? So pay later, when you make a payment after delivery, obviously solves that problem. At the same time, you don't have to deal with cash. So those are the two primary drivers. And when you look at around the world, whether it's Europe, Australia, even US, one thing that clearly stands out is in Europe and Australia, pay later is 20 to 30% of the entire e-commerce GMV.
Wow. Okay.
It's that big. Despite the fact in, let's say, Europe and even Australia, there is a high penetration of credit cards. People have credit cards. There is a reasonable trust in the system as well, right? The lack of trust deficit is never a problem in Europe. Still, 20% of all transactions, between 20 and 30% are pay later. In India, if you think about it, if you were to take a base case scenario, a conservative estimate, eventually we should end up at 20%, just like Europe or Australia. Right. And if you just project out a couple of years or 3 years, if you were to believe that India will be a $200 billion e-commerce GMV market, pay later should take at least 20% of this market share, which will be $40 billion GMV. Right.
Wow.
And one thing is very clear. E-commerce cannot scale with cash on delivery. It's just not scalable. It's too expensive and too much issues. So that's kind of like how we think about it, where the market is today and where it could go.
Great. Tell us the landscape. Who's out there? I mean, who would you consider as the big, you know, pay later or whatever? You call it buy now, pay later, or I'll just call it pay later, whichever way you look at it. I understand that Bajaj Finance can also be a pay later, but let's focus on the e-commerce specific, you know, the guys who come up when I'm on my Zomato, my Swiggy, my Big Basket. Let's just talk about those guys. What's the landscape look like to you?
So in e-commerce, pay later, let's call it, I would say there is a spectrum, right? One spectrum is consumers using pay later and merchants offering pay later to consumers for frequent use case, right? That's your classic, what you just said, food delivery, grocery, and et cetera. Then of course is pay later that is something for affordability, right? So on the pay later for convenience, frequency, et cetera, there are two companies which are independent payment options. One is Simple. The second is LazyPay, which is part of the PayU group. So we are two separate entities, and we work with pretty much all the retailers now in India. On the other side of the spectrum, there are quite a few. Bajaj is there, of course. They do both online and offline. There is Kish, there is Capital Float, as you said. There is Zest Money. There are a few of them. So that's kind of like just the spectrum. Now, within Pay Later, there are two types of Pay Later, if you think about it. One is one offered by Simple and LazyPay, which is offered by a neutral platform that works with retailers to make sure the consumer experience on their platform is very good and they are able to build trust with their customer and they are able to increase conversions, the whole nine yards. Then there are pay later that are operated by large e-commerce companies like Amazon, right? So that's called, I would say, Amazon Pay Later, but it's only on Amazon. And one of the reasons why it's only on Amazon is because Amazon as a e-commerce, as a platform is non-neutral. It is very focused on Amazon itself, and they want Amazon to win as opposed to the rest of the market. Similarly, Flipkart also has a pay later, which is only on Flipkart. So that's kind of like what the landscape is. The way I define it is neutral pay later and captive pay laters. And neutral would be simple and lazy pay. Captive would be something like an Amazon pay later and Flipkart pay later.
Makes sense. Nitya, help me out here, okay? Pay later has come up as an option to credit cards and wallets, okay? Because I'm guessing that today's generation doesn't want to get tied up in OTPs, doesn't want to get into keeping on filling up their wallet limits, stuff like that, whatever. How's the story played out so far? Any key insights, any, you know, learnings from usage that you've got so far in terms of how are people using this? Anything at all? Anything that really came out to you as interesting? Because I can see that convenience is a big thing out here. So how has the story played out so far for you? Insights, adoption, anything?
So Anupam, convenience and peace of mind are the two major drivers. So I would say they are equally important. If you think about India, what you see is we have 900 million people with a bank account. They all have a debit card or UPI. 500 million people have a smartphone connected to the internet, but only 30 million unique people have a credit card, right? So if you think about the credit card penetration, it's almost 3% of what the addressable market could be. Now, when you think about yourself or anyone else in India or around the world, how do you use your credit card? Typically, you use your credit card as a transaction platform. You're just buying your coffee, food, everything else, and you plan to pay a bill, right? Some people end up revolving the credit card, which is incredibly expensive. And of course, the guests of your show probably or listeners of your show will appreciate it. Paying 24, 36%, 48% compounded interest rate is financial suicide. No one should ever do it, right?
Yeah.
Primarily, it's a transaction platform. And especially in e-commerce, what it does is it builds trust. When you save your debit card online versus a credit card online, the difference is if there is fraud, if there is chargeback, in a credit card case, you can kind of push it back to the bank, the issuer, right? But in your debit card, it's really your problem. If there is a problem, it's your problem. You can deal with it and try to solve it. So when you think about such high usage of cash in e-commerce, it is not because people don't have UPI or debit card. It is just because there is not a trusted payment instrument like a credit card or could be something else. For instance, in the US, PayPal solved that problem through escrow. China, Alipay solved that problem. So when you think about growth in e-commerce in any market, whether US, Europe, or China, there is always this layer of trust and user experience that allows consumers to migrate from offline mindset to an online mindset where they feel the same level of convenience and trust. And that is what I think the opportunity for Pay Later is. And that's definitely the mission for Simple, which is how do you allow consumers to have access to e-commerce stores in a way which is a great user experience, which means all these things, one-click checkout, no passwords. At the same time, incredible security, so that consumers can feel safe and trust when they're buying online.
Very interesting. What's going to happen to wallets, you think? You know, it started off in such a... I mean, they are the same proposition that no OTP, fill it up once, use it over a period, you know, use it over a month and that's it, you're done. Where do you think that... Where do you think that story is going? Because, I mean, it's obvious that Pay Later has come as what looks like a superior user experience, you know, and probably more flexible, right? Because you can give me a credit line of what, maybe 5,000 and maybe that's my monthly Zomato bill. And yeah. I can just pay it off at one shot. I don't even have to think ki mere wallet mein paisa hai, nahi hai, I have to fill it up. What's your view on wallets?
Yeah, I mean, so there are obviously two types of wallets, right? The wallet I think you're referring to is the prepaid wallet where you put money inside the wallet, right? And you know, my view is it's definitely not going anywhere. And I think it's a foregone conclusion perhaps at this point. And the problem is this, Anupam. When you think about the origin of wallets, and you go back to, let's say, M-Pesa in 2005 or 6, and then, of course, Alipay in China, those are very different markets in a very different era, right? And of course, the countries where they operated were different. So if you think about M-Pesa and where the wallet first started, so to speak, there were no banks. The problem was there was no store, there was no digital store of value, at least for a section of the consumer, right? So if I was a, you know, let's say lower middle class or middle class person, let's say in Nigeria or something or Kenya, I just didn't have access to bank account that easily. And that's when telcos like M-Pesa and Vodafone solved that problem where I can just deposit money somewhere. It almost acted like a bank account, but it, obviously not exactly a bank account, but it allowed me to buy mobile minutes, do some transactions, etc., much more conveniently than going to a bank account, walking several kilometers, spend, you know, all of that. Now, when you fast forward, same with China, right? If you think about when wallets started in China, this was early 2000, mid 2000s, etc. Now, when you fast forward to India, and forget about wallets, if you think about what do we have in India, we have the most sophisticated financial infrastructure in the entire world. What does that mean? Every single person in India has a bank account, right? Like, which is unprecedented, right? It's never happened before in the world, and then we have already done it. And people trust their bank. So we are happy to save our money in the bank, right? Then we have something like UPI, which allows me to move money from my bank account into and give it to someone for purchase, right? Anytime I want, right? So now in that context, why would I put money inside a wallet, right? Because I already have a bank account. And moving my money from my bank account, which I trust, it's a bank, you know, one of the top 20, 30 banks, why would I put it in any wallet, right? It doesn't give me interest rate. It's just like money sitting, and maybe I'll forget it because that's the big thing, right? I have some money sitting in this wallet, that wallet, I don't even remember anymore. Why would somebody do that? Now, if UPI wasn't there, then it makes a lot of sense, right? Mm-hmm. Or if bank accounts themselves, the traditional bank accounts were not there, it makes a lot of sense, right? Because yes, it just makes my transaction easier. But if that is not there, why would I take a wallet? So that's number one. The second is the issue of debit, direct debit. Whether when you are buying online, whether you pay with a wallet or your bank account using UPI, primarily, while the user experience could be slightly different in a wallet, it could be one click as long as you have money in the wallet. And in UPI, of course, there is passwords and it fails. But the fundamental thing is the money has left your bank account, right? You have no buyer protection at that point, right? If there is an issue, the delivery does not come, anything goes wrong, or you want to return, the whole thing is a separate thing that you need to deal, right? Which is what PayLater solves very, very elegantly, which is why, you know, one way to think about PayLater is it is a ledger or a khata on top of your bank account, connected with your bank account through UPI. You can use multiple retailers online by pressing a button. It's a great user experience. If the delivery does not happen or you return, it's auto-reversed in the ledger. Mm-hmm. And eventually, once in 15 days, you use UPI to pay off your ledger and settle it with your bank account, right? So that's kind of like, that's how we think about the framework.
Sure. Last question in this first half, Nithya. What next? You mentioned Europe, you mentioned US, I think you mentioned Australia also about how there the PayLater has become almost 20%, 30% of the entire e-commerce industry, which is a massive number. You also gave some rough ballpark numbers for India where you're saying that if e-commerce goes at 200 billion, logically, you know, that the PayLater industry will also have. Anything that you think needs to change out here, maybe on the regulatory front, I don't know, because I would think that we've got pretty good smartphone penetration, and that's only going to improve going forward. We've got UPI that's penetrated across the 900 million odd bank accounts that you spoke of. So anything that needs to change from here on to make PayLater grow by leaps and bounds?
Yeah. So Anupam, I think the way we see it is there are two barriers to scale of PayLater in India compared to especially Europe. The first one is, in India specifically, there is a harder problem that one has to solve. And that is the infrastructure that you build. Launched our product in 2016. And basically, the infrastructure that you need to build to operate it in positive unit economics, which means underwriting, right? Collections, servicing, preventing fraud is a primary problem to solve. Now, when you compare India to Europe, it's two different countries. And how you solve this problem is very different. In Europe, it might be a solved problem already. And therefore, a PayLater provider may not have to solve the problem. In India, you know, consumer credit, these type of things are so few and far between, and we are such a large country, that solving this problem itself is a fundamental IP, right?
Okay.
And therefore, it will always take slightly longer. Of course, the market opportunity is massive, much bigger than Europe, but that's right. So that's number one. And I think we are solving that problem, and we are very advanced at this point, and I'm sure other people as well are. The second, I think, thing needs to change, which is already changed, actually, is direct debit from bank accounts. So when you think about pay later that happens in US or Europe or Australia, basically what happens is you sign up on pay later anywhere, and then you have a bill, and through your debit card or whatever you have put, the pay later provider like Afterpay or something can pull money from your bank account. In India, because of regulations, you can't pull money from the bank account, right? You have the customer, you can tell the customer, hey, Anupam, your bill is due. Then the customer has to push the money. And when they push the money, they are going through the same friction of payment, passwords. And, you know, paying bills is never something that anybody enjoys, right? Which eventually leads to higher operational burden. You know, people forgetting. It's just a bad user experience as well. Towards the end of last year, UPI released a new protocol called UPI 2.0, in which they have what is called standing instructions, where a consumer can give standing instructions to anyone. It could be, it's not for pay later, it's for anyone. And they can say, hey, here are the rules, up to 10,000 rupees, this frequency, et cetera, et cetera. I'm giving a mandate to Simple or whoever that they can debit money from my bank account. And I think that is going to be a transformational infrastructure that will allow this to scale very quickly while reducing delinquencies at the same time, increasing the consumer experience. So that's kind of like one thing I believe is important. Currently, that infrastructure is there, but it's not stable. And we expect in a quarter or so, it should start getting to a point where it's stable to be, you know, launched to a lot of people.
Sure, fantastic. Folks, so we're going to take a break out right here, right now, at this point. And when we come back on the other side, Nithya is going to tell us what's hot at Simple, how things are going for people. You know, if you don't know what Simple is, he's going to explain how the entire product works, what's the value proposition for merchants, and a whole lot of other stuff. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. This really special episode of Paisa Vaisa, the Pay Later Special with Nithya Sharma, co-founder and CEO at Simple. And on that note, time to take the credit convenience break. We'll be right back on the other side. And welcome back to this episode of Paisa Vaisa, the Pay Later Special with Simple. My guest, Nithya Sharma, co-founder and CEO at Simple. The first part, we spoke a lot about how the industry is going, where it is, how it's grown, and where it's going to go. This part is completely dedicated towards Simple and the product that they have. Okay, Nithya, if you're talking to someone who's never used Simple, you want to explain the product to us, please tell us what Simple is and what does it offer to the customer, to me, to the consumer, that's better than other modes of payment.
At Simple, we have two customers, merchants and consumers, users, right? Like you and me. To the user, what Simple is it enables you to buy anything on the internet with one click. So it's one click checkout. So no password, no nothing. And it aggregates all your transactions across use cases that you do into one bill, which you pay with your bank account, UPI or debit card every 15 days. In return, what you get is a great user experience, which is one click checkout, and unprecedented security and trust, where you do not have to save your card details and worry about fraud or any of these data hacks that keep on happening on so many merchant websites, right? Second, a lot of consumers feel a little bit of anxiety between paying for something and buying online and then getting returned delivery and feeling satisfied with their purchase, right? In a debit instrument like paying with UPI or debit card, you know, it's you're paid money and then you'll have to get the return. In pay later, if you don't get the delivery on time or at all, you don't have to pay for it, right? It gets auto reversed, right? So it gives you that peace of mind that don't worry, this is a trusted way for you to access e-commerce. So that's kind of like the main proposition for the consumer. Last but not the least, it also helps consumers manage their budget just a little bit. Right. The primary use case is not affordability or managing budget, but it also does. Right. So sometimes you want to bridge it over the end of the month. It helps you to do it as well.
Okay. I just want to delve a little bit more out here on the consumer side. So if I've understood this right, Nitya, you're essentially giving me a credit line, which could be, I don't know, 5,000, 10,000, depending on how you assess my needs. Am I right in that?
That is correct. Yeah.
And when I, you know, and you're saying that if I take that on the 1st of the month, on 1st June, let's say, then by the 15th, I have to repay whatever billing that I've done within that limit, right?
Yes. So basically, the way it works is typically, with simple, you'll buy something on food delivery, grocery, typically people do 4 to 5 transactions over a period of 15 days. They get a bill at the end of the 15th, the midnight of 15th. Then you have 5 days to make a payment. So you can just make a payment with UPI.
And yeah, that's what. So is, you spoke about the auto debit in the first part of the show. That's not happened as yet. I mean, I still have to manually press the button and pay to you, right?
Yes, currently, yes, because auto debit has not fully been rolled out. It's unstable right now. So therefore, you will have to go and pay, which is a user experience problem that we are solving with auto debit, where in the future, you will not have to do even that. After 5 days, your account will be auto debited. And within 5 days, you have the option to come to the simple app and say, hey, this delivery did not happen, etc. Right? You can, just like how you would look at your credit card statement, you can kind of say, be satisfied that this all happened, and then automatically transition.
So you're saying that if I get a bunch of bricks instead of my iPhone, I can actually, you know, maybe not an iPhone, that's pretty expensive, but you know what I'm talking about, right?
Yes. And Anupam, the interesting thing here is we've done a lot of user research. You know, the brick thing you said, right? I give this example a lot. And I'm sure the brick has never happened to you. It has definitely never happened to me.
Yeah.
But we've heard these stories. And that's how the human mind works, right?
Yeah.
We are all worried about the brick. Although probably it happened maybe 10 times in the entire history of e-commerce or whatever, and we saw it on Times of India, and we are just preventing that brick to happen to us. No one wants to deal with the brick. Although statistically, it doesn't happen.
Yeah.
But that fear of brick is the friction that prevents commerce.
Yeah, well, that's it's not happened, the brick hasn't happened to me, but a pretty pathetic pair of shoes did happen once. Anyway, the merchants, tell us about that. What's the value? Because merchants is a massive industry in India, given how unorganized, you know, and how that part of the industry operates. So what's the value proposition for the merchants?
Yeah. So the merchants, so if you think about what is the problem for the merchants, merchants have two problems. First is merchants want to sell online, but 70% of transactions happen with cash, right? Now, a merchant like an Amazon or Flipkart, just because of their sheer size and their nature, they can deal with it, right? But if you're a smaller retailer, dealing with cash on delivery is very, very expensive. As a retailer, you are running a de facto credit book, right? Because you've made the sale, right? But the settlement will not happen till the person pays. And depending on what type of retailer you are, it could happen in a few hours or a few seconds. A lot of returns happen when people buy with cash on delivery, right? The return ratios are much higher, purely because consumer has just no, like there is no commitment, right? And some people misuse it, of course. And then there is fraud, pilferage, right? Losses, like it's just unbelievably expensive. So that's one problem statement for the retailer. But the retailer still needs to offer cash on delivery as an option because that's how the consumer feels safe about buying online, right? Yeah. And if your competition gives it to the customer, then the customer will just go to the competition. So therefore, everybody has to, it's just game theory. So that's one problem. The second problem is conversions on e-commerce, right? If you look at, you know, traditional e-commerce in India, right? You're buying, let's say you said shoes and t-shirts and all these things we all buy. The average conversion on e-commerce in India is 0.5%. When you compare that to developed markets like US, Europe, Australia, it is 4%. So India is...
Sorry, Nitya, just to interrupt you out there, what exactly is this conversion where you're saying in India, it's 0.5% and in developed market, it's probably 4%. What do you mean out there?
So this is what it means. Let's take an example, a very concrete example, right? You bought those shoes online, right? You bought from some store, let's say, right? Now, the way it works for the retailer, if you look at it from the retailer point of view, a brand who's selling shoes to you on the platform is doing a lot of marketing to drive traffic to the store, right? Online store, which is the top of the funnel. So for instance, let's say I run a store, I'll do Instagram marketing, brand building, whatever, Facebook ads, and then people will click on it and then end up coming to my website, nityasharma.sneakers.com, right? How many of those people actually buy, right? So in India, if 100 or let's say 200 people come to the top of the funnel, 1% will buy.
Wow, okay.
In US or Europe, about 8 people will buy.
Wow.
Now, the difference is, when you think about, if you look at the P&L or any sort of metric for brands or people, retailers who sell online or offline, One of the largest line items is marketing. 20 to 35% of revenues typically go into marketing. And what marketing does is drive the top of the funnel, right? It gets people to your store, right? It could be online or store, offline store. And therefore, conversion metric is super important to know and to increase your marketing efficiency. Because if you're spending 20 to 35% of your entire revenue base on just marketing, just building a brand and telling people about you so that they come, and only half a percent people actually buy, your marketing becomes very, very inefficient, right? So that's what it's called, the conversion rate, right? So India is 8 times less than developed markets. Now, if you were to analyze and you put yourself in the shoes of the customer and you go through the funnel, why do customers drop off? And of course, it is different on something like an Amazon versus a direct-to-customer e-commerce store. But thinking about this smaller store, not Amazon. One is, of course, people come to window shop. So people have less intent. So that's one reason. But two primary reasons for dropping off is trust, right? Just like you said, shoes are such an important part of my thing, and maybe I'll not like it. And if I don't like it, I'll have to do it, or maybe it'll not fit me. So I have to do a return. And if the return, they will take the return, maybe they'll not give me the refund. What will I do then? So you're worried about that. Second thing you're worried about, what if the delivery does not happen? I get stones in it, right? That's the second part. And then third is the friction of checkout itself, right? Let's say you want to make a payment itself, right? You're on mobile. You have to just do a payment. Let's say you have already, justified that, okay, I'll trust these guys. They'll make the refund. That's all good. Then you have to make a payment. Then you have to put your password, this, that, card information. I mean, imagine this, right? And you're on mobile. 90% of e-commerce in India is on mobile.
Wow.
Right?
Okay.
No wonder only 0.5 people buy.
Yeah.
Which is where anything that allows consumers to buy with less friction, don't think too much about this. Which is a combination of one-click checkout, no password, not having to enter information, not worrying about fraud, etc., and feeling safe that if the delivery does not happen, you get stones, you are not on the hook, right? Mm-hmm. And if you want to return because it did not fit you, it is not something that you'll have to fight it out with every single retailer one by one. It is a cohesive part of simple. That is kind of like how the retailer thinks about it. So what simple does is we increase the conversions by almost 100%, right? By the way, it's a small ask, right? You're only increasing, if you think about it, right, there is so much room here, right? 0.5% people buy, right? So we just increase it slightly higher, like cohorts of people who use Simple. We also increase retention. And the reason we increase retention is classic khata, right? And Anupam, that's where I would want to just step back, right?
Mm.
Simple, we started Simple about 5 years ago. When I moved back to India, after spending about 10 years in New York, US, I used to work on Wall Street. So I used to work in financial services, had a great job. I had my American Express cards and so on. When I moved to India, my bank rejected my credit card application for a simple reason that I did not have a credit score. Yeah. And when I looked around, I realized very few people in India have a credit card. 30 million people have a credit card. And which is when I kind of like said, there is an opportunity to not only build a credit card, but to reimagine the whole thing, right? How will you build a credit card from scratch for today's world, for today's customer and today's commerce, right? And around the same time, as I was living back in India, I observed this khata, right? We are already using khata with all these retailers. And if you think about the genesis of khata from a retailer point of view, the reason your Kirana store or your milkman gives you the khata is not because they're giving you a loan to buy food. They're building a relationship with you. It's a relationship product, right? It allows them to build a relationship of trust with you, which automatically translates into higher retention and sort of higher business. Similarly, because Simple is basically a khata, we see the increase in retention for retailers as well. And that's why retailers love Simple.
Very interesting. Okay, now coming towards the end of the episode, Nithya, last two questions for you. One is, it's been a tough year, right? For a lot of us, the tough year is in fact even continuing now with this entire second wave thing. What's been the default rate in general for you? And what happens in case of default? I'll give you some background out here, because whenever we've had a lending app or lending platform on PesaVesa, this entire thing of, bad stories in the press of collection agents and stuff like that has just made things a little bit murky for everyone. What's been your experience in terms of default rates? In general, what do you do with default rates? How's that market been for you so far? And, you know, B, do you think things are going to improve now going forward?
Absolutely. So as I talk about the default rate, just like one framework, how we think about our business and then how we think about the customer and then servicing the customer if the default. Right? This whole business is about enabling Simple to use a new customer to use Simple for the first time. So we work with retailers and bunch of data to kind of like say, these people are qualified to use something like Simple and these people are not. If you're not qualified, of course, you can't use Simple. But if you're qualified, we start you off at a small credit line. Typically, it starts at, let's say, 2,000 rupees. Now, the probability that you will not pay back or that new customer will not pay back is the highest at the first time. Once you have paid back and you've put your UPI handle, et cetera, you build your own repayment history. And then you build, as you use Simple, you build more repayment history. And as you build that repayment history, we increase your limit from, let's say, 2,000 rupees to 3,000, 3,500 and 10,000. We typically don't go, we go at as high as 20,000. That's it. So that's how it works. Now, because the risk curve is basically like this, right? In the beginning, the risk is high on the new consumer cohorts. And as the consumers mature and season, the risk becomes lower, 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 and goes to the point where it becomes negligible because they have paid it so many times. And as the risk goes down, we give you more money. So the primary driver of unit economics is this business is retention. And the primary reason consumers retain is user experience. Right? Your user experience has to be so good that people just want to use you all the time. And of course, you have to give them use cases like food delivery and everything else that they continue to use you all the time.
Mm-hmm.
The reason I say user experience is because when you take a customer and you look at the consumer's journey from day one on Simple, and then of course, 1 year, 2 year, 3 years, consumer touches you multiple times. They use you to one-click checkout, then they used to pay the bill, then sometimes they forget. So you have to remind them. And then sometimes they forget for 30 days, then you have to remind them again. And the primary thing is you are building a brand that stands for trust, that people care about, and you build a relationship with this customer of trust so that they use you again and again, because the whole unit economics is on the retained customers, right? So that's how it works. Now, the risk that we see and how we define it is what we call net transaction loss, right? We actually don't have a book per se, but because if you think about it, you know, consumer use Simple from the 1st to the 15th and then they pay the bill. So the average sort of working capital, so to speak, is 7 days, right? So it's really very fast turnover of receivables, so to speak, right? But the metric we focus on, which is typically not a lending metric, it's what we call net transaction losses, which is, you know, 100 rupees are used and then how much does not come back you know, in 45 days is where we cut off. That right now stands at, for the average of 2020, 1%.
Wow. 99 comes back.
99 comes back. Now, of course, it's spread across different type of people, right? There are people, you know, 70% of our people who we call prime people, meaning they have done 3 transactions and paid the bill, there the metric is 0.3 to 0.4%.
Wow. Okay.
Right? Because they are paying back.
So you're saying high frequency users don't default, or rather the number is almost negligible.
It's very negligible. And you know, you can ask any khata store, right? Ask do people don't pay your khata? They will actually look at you like you are, what are you talking about? And I'll just give you a very quick anecdote for your listeners. This might be interesting. But when I started Simple, right, the biggest question I got asked, and that was really the question I wanted to answer, was because people said Indians can't be trusted and people not pay you back, right? You're Nitya, you came from the US here trying to build your US thing. It doesn't work in India, right? This is not, and especially the bankers will say that because, you know, bankers think like a credit card, right? And obviously, as I was launching the product, I was worried about it. That was my primary concern. And so I would, you know, try to figure out. So when we opened our office in Mumbai for the first time, we had a dabba wala who would come and give us dabba. And he would just come and leave the tiffin, take the old one out and just walk out. No conversation, right? And then he would give us a bill every month and we'll pay off like a khata, right? You know, after 2 months, one of my office boys said, hey, Nitya, we have to pay this bill, you know, of cash. And that occurred to me. I'm like, hey, can you just send him to my office? I want to talk to this guy. So there's this dabbawala delivery guy. And I asked him, I was like, hey, you know, I just wanted to spend some time with you. Like, I was like, how many people don't pay? You come and give this bill. And he looked at me and was like, क्यों नहीं पैसे देगा कोई. some people will not pay. And he's like, no, पेट में दर्द होगा ना अगर खाना खा के पैसे नहीं देगा तो पेट में दर्द होगा ना.
I like that.
The point is, you know, what we underestimate is when you build a system that enables a reputation system that allows building of trust, it's very powerful, right? And consumers start adapting their own behavior to start fitting the system. The same customer might behave in a certain way in one environment and the other way, right? So that's kind of like, I think, the driver of how we think about it. It's about trusted customers working in a trusted way to access e-commerce in a trusted environment, almost like your online neighborhood.
Sounds good. Last question, Nitya. What's new at Simple and what can our listeners look forward to going forward?
Yeah, there is a lot of stuff happening new at Simple. We are expanding very quickly. So your listeners will see a lot more merchants where you can use Simple. We now work with 4,500 online retailers. In the last 6 months, we quadrupled our merchant base. And this quarter again, we will double again. So it's all about having more places to use Simple. So you'll see that. The second thing is you'll start seeing some interesting features from us. As I said, we are building a full stack replacement to the credit card. And one of the things that everybody loves about credit card is loyalty rewards. So we're building a very interesting loyalty reward platform, but the way it will be very different from what loyalty happens in credit card is. So in credit card, what happens is credit card companies charge a lot of money to retailers, about 2.5% to 3%. And if you were to wonder where is this money going, 2% out of that money goes to fund your loyalty rewards. But who does it build loyalty to? It builds loyalty to the bank. Who pays for it? The retailers pay for it. Why is this the case? Well, there is no reason for it. It just started 60 years back, right? We are reimagining the whole thing. And for us, consumers and merchants are the central actor of payments, right? So our loyalty would be about retailers enabling retailers to give their customers loyalty that they can redeem on the same retailer, right? So very much like Starbucks rewards or something. Yeah. So that's what we are building. And yeah, I mean, like, we're very focused. We're not trying to do too many things. Our goal is to just build one product that just gives a great user experience to the customers and build features around the product, like, as I said, auto debit, loyalty, that just makes a product even better.
Fantastic. Wish you all the best. And yeah, folks, that's a wrap on this episode of Paisa Vaisa. My guest, Nitya Sharma, co-founder and CEO at Simple. Nitya, thank you so much for doing this for our listeners.
It was great talking to you, Anupam. Thanks for having me on the show.
And here's the credit privilege tip of the week, folks. Pay your credit card bills on time to avoid getting into very, very expensive credit card debt. Remember that. And listeners, if you like this podcast, don't forget to check out other interesting podcasts on the IVM network. You can listen to us on the IVM Podcast app or ivmpodcast.com. You can also follow us on our social media. We are IVM Podcast on Twitter and Instagram. If you want to reach out to me, I'm your host, Anupam Gupta, B50 on Twitter. And thank you so much for listening to Paisa Vaisa. Brought to you by Cred, the most rewarding credit card bill payments app.
No material on the show should be considered as financial advice. The material on the show is for informational purposes only. Please consult a financial advisor before taking any investment decision.